Welcome to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. Prepare your heart for laughter and tears as we share the unpolished stories of the homeless and hurting, hope and transformation. Here's your host, director of the Union Gospel Mission, Pastor Tim Lane.
Well, I am glad you joined us today. I am here in the studio by myself today, well, excepting for my producer, Steve, over there, who we probably spent more time talking to each other than we will spend on the air, but he's a great guy. I wanted to come to you today and let you know that we have the year-end review, and some of you receive our year-end review, and if you'd like to, certainly you can call the office at 447-3268 and ask for Eileen Trussell, and I know she would love to send you out a copy or email of it or whatever you'd like to do. It's just a couple of pages long, but it's got a lot of the things that are going on this year or through this last year, and certainly this last year was different than any year we had ever had before. You know, on the front, there's a picture of me. That may not be your greatest bonus, but still there is a picture of me there. There's a picture, which I love, of the cross that's out on the front of the Union Gospel Mission. It is the old-style cross that says, Jesus Saves. And it is one of those neon lights, and it's been up there forever, and we've repaired it 1,000 times and all those kind of things. But it's up there, and it is really a beacon. Matter of fact, I see that Eileen put in here, a beacon of light, our Jesus Saves cross, lights up the brightly every day on the top of the building, and it does. Every evening when the sun goes down, that cross lights up throughout the street. And you know what's nice about that is there's not a lot of color, a lot of pretty lights or anything up there. And then in the middle of this darkness, lights up, and there it is. And so we are happy to have it there. I was talking to some of the people. Eileen and Jed are the ones that primarily put this together. Eileen does a lot of this, and then she comes and she asks each one of us, myself first, to write a little article about this time and Pastor Mooney. And I just wanted to give you a couple of highlights of it. I see that Pastor Tom Mooney is on here too. And Pastor Tom is one of our chaplains who right now is the only chaplain we have who is counseling with the men. And then we have Eric Rios, our aftercare specialist, who is just now recovering from COVID himself. He's a younger man. And by that, I mean, he's younger than me. He's 40, not quite 40. And so he got hit with the COVID, and so did many of the other people at the mission. But we've been able to kind of soldier through most of this stuff. So Eileen asked me to write an article, as I do every year. And so I thought maybe I'd just read that to you so that you can get a flavor of where we're coming from. In 2020 was a year that turned the life that we know into a time that we never expected. For many of us, it was a time of fear, loss, sickness, and pain. In August, my wife of 47 years went home to be with the Lord. For her, it would be a release from the MS that had changed her life to a time of celebration, being united with the Lord that she loved. And she did. I was in the hospital with COVID, and I am grateful to have recovered. I was in there for 10 days, and they didn't think I was going to make it, but the Lord had another plan. But it has been a time of sadness and change for me as well. The mission was hit hard with men in the rehab program and staff. Many of them contracted the virus, including one who is currently getting better or getting through this thing, and that's Eric Rios that I was talking about. Our chaplain, Pastor Tom Mooney, lost his wife as well. She passed away from cancer only a month after Olga did. And, you know, let me stop here and just tell you that Roberta, his wife, was a wonderful woman. If you ever get a chance to see a picture of her smiling face, you know, both Tom and I were fortunate to have wives that were godly women, and she showed the joy of the Lord even to the end of her life. And I had gone over to their house and visited with them when she was still sick. So it's a time for him to. He's trying to adjust, and it's hard for him to adjust to it. He doesn't doubt that she's with the Lord, and he doesn't doubt that his eternal home is with the Lord either. But as I was talking to Steve today, I said, you know, when my grandmother, who I love dearly, my dad was gone and my grandmother helped to raise me. She was with us 6 months out of the year. And being a resident of Canada, she had to come down on a visa to be with us for 6 months, and then she'd have to go back. And as a little kid, I would cry because I was going to miss my grandmother, right? But I knew she would come again. I knew I would see her again, but it still didn't make it good that I was losing her for 6 months. Well, the Bible tells us that that God does not want us to mourn as the world mourns, who has no hope. Because when we lose loved ones, when we lose friends that are close to us, there's going to be a time of sadness. There's going to be a time of mourning, you know. But what are you mourning? Stephen said to me, he said, you know, when I go, I don't want people mourning because I had a good life. I loved them. I did that. And I explained it to him at the time. Hey, brother, if you were to die tomorrow, I'm going to mourn. I'm not going to mourn the way the world does because I know you're in heaven. I got that. And I'm going to see you someday. But I'm not mourning for you. I'm mourning for me because I'm going to miss you. And that's the same thing with loved ones that go home ahead of us to be with the Lord. We know that it might be 10, 20, 30, 40 years before we see them. Well, I don't think I have 40 years, but you know what I mean. And so there is a time of mourning. But if you're out there today and you are mourning the loss of someone that you cared about and thinking you can't move on from this spot, listen, nobody is asking you not to feel the feelings you're feeling for a departed loved one. But if they're in Christ Jesus, you wouldn't want them to leave heaven to come back to here. And with the pain and the suffering and all the things that go on around this place, so I just want you guys to remember that as well. So I'll go ahead and go back to the little article. It says, our chaplain, Pastor Tom Mooney's wife, passed away from cancer only a month later. I must say that we are all supporting each other through his word. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And so there's times that you need to weep with your brothers and sisters who are going through hard times, and there are times that you need to celebrate. You need to remember not to envy, too, and I need to remember not to envy because somebody else's life maybe looks a little better than yours right now, but celebrate with your brothers and sisters in Christ who are having they're rejoicing over something. Rejoice with them, and not forgetting to mourn with those that also mourn. And you know what? I'm going to go back to the article here because this is something that I was thinking a lot about. And that's this next line that I wrote. There are two words in the Bible that we need to always remember. Are you ready? The Bible says, but God. And those two words can be interjected anywhere. I was on the very edge of destruction, but God. I was mourning the loss of somebody, and my heart was broken, but God. They rejected me, but God. They hated me, but God. You can take that but God and put it into any horrible circumstance, and you're going to find that they're true, but God. Jesus said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, and he meant that. When you feel forsaken, that's not coming from him. That's coming from ourselves. And yes, we do mourn. We miss people who are gone. we're going to cry. And sometimes that crying is going to be months and months and months and maybe years and years every time you think of a tender moment with that person and you miss them. But God will see you through every turbulent time. But God will be with you through those hard times. But God will not forget you. But God will always remember you. But God will lift you up. But God will take you home. But God will keep you from being lost. So like I said, I just think those two little words we need to remember. He holds us up. He guides us. And he will lead us home through his grace. And we need to remember that grace of God. He sheds that beautiful common grace on everyone. But on his children, he gives us the grace to sustain, saving grace, the grace, the knowledge to continue. He will justify us at the cross, sanctify us in our lives, and glorify us when he takes us home. And it's all through him. And that's not pie in the sky. That's the truth. Well, back to the little article. It was hard to keep up with the ever-changing rules. And by that, I meant the rules from the state and mandates about how to deal with the virus. It was hard to keep up with the ever-changing rules. We went from volunteers serving 150 bountiful meals in our dining room every night to having no volunteers and our staff and rehab men, program men, serving on the porch. And by the way, we continued to serve hot meals and still do every single night. And the heartbreaking part was that feeding them the hot meals, I'm not on the article right now, but the heartbreaking thing, like I said, was the fact that we were still feeding them, but we weren't bringing them in for our service to hear the gospel message. And that was truly sad. So we did something a little different. We took a big screen TV. We got some of the pastors to send us thumb drives. I may have mentioned this to you before. Send some thumb drives to us with a message on there, an evangelical outreach message, because don't forget, this isn't a regular church service. We're trying to reach those men and women out there that are lost. And maybe believers who have become wayward that, you know, we have a program. We have a recovery program. We have 24 beds that are available for our drug and alcohol and other things you might be addicted to. It's a 9-month live-in program, and right now we have half that, not even. And so we many times have had people lined up to get in. So if you know somebody that can commit to a 9-month program and really desperately needs to get off of drugs, alcohol, there's just a plethora of things. People don't even realize the amount of things that you can be addicted to. You can be addicted to sexuality. You can be addicted to anger. You can be a kleptomaniac. You're addicted to stealing things. You can, there's just no end to it. Most of you probably don't even know what a cutter is, but a cutter is a person that their addiction manifests itself into cutting themselves all over their body with little thin razor blades and stuff. And so that's a true addiction, and they need to get through and over that. The answer, as far as I'm concerned, is always the same. It's Jesus. But we have trained counselors who will work with the men from a biblical perspective. So, all right, back to the article. We found ways to continue our services with food, mail delivery, showers, and handing out many needed items. We had 11 graduates on the rehab program. We are updating our facilities and looking forward to the one day when we can open back up and show everybody the improvements we've made to the mission. So instead of sitting on our hands and saying, oh, what can we do? We started moving forward on things we already had to do and continued to let people shower, to get clothing to them, to get food to them, to get the message to them. It's different than it was, but it's still being done. And we're always trying to figure out some new ways, and I've been working on some new ways with the staff. I was talking to them about a couple ideas if COVID continues to shut us down, that I mean, as far as getting people in, if we can do something open air on our property, on our lawns and stuff. But we have to see what we can do. So we still have the rehabilitation program going. There's just a few extra rules. Used to be they had to have a TB test when they came in, and that was about it, and they needed to have an interview with us. Well, now the difference is that you also have to have a COVID-19 test within the last couple of days before we can let you in with our other program men upstairs, and that's for their safety and for the safety of the staff as well. But I am looking forward to being able to show people many of the improvements that we have. We rehab the upstairs for our 24 men on the program. You know, it's always been difficult, especially in the summertime. There was an evaporative cooler up there. And so through the generosity of one of our donors who paid for the air conditioning upstairs, we were able to tear the sheetrock off the wall, make sure that the wiring was completely up to date, the plumbing was up to date, put on new sheetrock, and we're able to put in air conditioning units upstairs in the dorm, which is a great thing for these guys because, as I said, it's very difficult when you're up there, you're already struggling every day, you're trying to fight your addiction, you're trying to learn about these new ways, and now it's 110 degrees outside and you got an evaporative cooler, you get a hot, humid night. I know there's not a lot of them in Sacramento, but it still does happen. And it's just not pleasant upstairs. Well, now we have air conditioning that we can supply upstairs. The walls, 2x4s, everything structurally has been replaced. We pulled permits on everything. So before any of you ask, yes, we pulled permits. Everything is up to code. And so we did the same thing downstairs where we had... where we have a break room for our program men because they do jobs around the mission, but sometimes they need a break too. And so when they're not working and stuff, they can go into the break room, they can play games, they can watch TV, they can do those things. And now it's air conditioned as well. Walls are replaced. We had some serious dry rot in one place that we were able to replace with brand new studs and all that kind of stuff. So the building is safe and it's clean, and we're working our way from there through the whole building, and we're getting different bids on it, finding out what we need to do. And so it'll be exciting when we can once again come back in and be able to show you guys all over the place. And to that effect, when I was writing the article, I also put in there, it hurt to cease our chapel service. And we pray for his guidance. We set up a big screen TV so that the gospel can be heard in the hope of the church. And we hope to have the church groups back pretty soon. It all depends on the COVID thing because there's nothing better than a live service there. And listen, I've been the director of the mission for 15 years. I'm going on my 16th. But, you know, I volunteered there for 10 years before that. And so it's a different place. I used to come down the fourth Saturday of every month. And when I did, you know, Sunday morning was always better because we'd been there Saturday night, even though it often interfered with things that you might want to do. You know, I mean, a guy yelled at me from the sidewalk because he had a megaphone out there and he was trying to get the attention of the homeless, even though we're there trying to conduct services, trying to conduct, you know, keep the mission running, keep food going. And they're out there with a megaphone on the sidewalk interrupting all that stuff. So he yelled back to me that I'm nothing more than a paid preacher. Well, it's true. I do get paid for what I do, but that doesn't lessen the commitment. It's like I've told people, the question is not whether you're getting paid in a ministry, the question is, would you do a ministry without the pay? And the answer for anybody in service of God needs to be yes. You know, your pastor gets paid, but does your pastor do it because that's the reason so he gets paid? No, come on. Your pastor would be preaching the word even if he didn't get paid. He might not be at that church. He might not be there all day long, every day, 5 days a week like he needs to be normally. But guess what? He's going to be preaching the gospel because it's just how it is. It's our call. And so I disagree with the guy from the sidewalk. So if you're out there, guy from the sidewalk, I disagree. But, you know, as long as you don't interrupt our services, I applaud the fact that you're trying to. I didn't hear any preaching going on, just him asking people to come and talk to him. But, and you know what? The last part of this little article that I wrote says, "You, our donors, kept us going in this unprecedented time with your donations and your prayers. And we are truly, truly grateful for your continued partnership with the mission." And I truly am. And again, The Romans 12:15, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." It's so true. But give joy to the Lord always. Praise his name. Lift him up to other people. Let people know of the hope that lies within you. You know, be that workman who's not ashamed for the hope that lies within you, right? But how do you do it? You do it with gentleness. You know, you don't do it like our friend on the sidewalk by yelling and screaming at people. You do it with gentleness, you do it with kindness, and you do it with prayer. So I hope that you will want to get a copy of the newsletter. It has a picture of Tom. It has a great picture of iron sharpening iron. That's where our aftercare specialist, who is still recovering from the COVID thing, so he's a little weak, but He came in a few hours late so that he would have the strength to go out and help the men with the exercise stuff. I don't know that he was able to do a lot of exercise because he's still pretty beat up, but I applaud the fact he wanted to. So what we have is we had gotten a grant last year to set up all the weight equipment and everything we needed to be just like a gym, and they paid for it. And that was actually Kaiser. And they didn't put any strings on it because we don't accept anything with strings. But they did it, and they paid for it. It was $15,000 worth of stuff, and they paid for it all. And I got to give them a shout-out. It was great. I mean, you know. And then there's pictures of our guys handing out food boxes at the holidays and every day. And then some of our guys, the hot meals we hand out, the services we try to do. And so if you get an opportunity, call Eileen 447-3268 and ask her for a copy, whether it's electronically or whether you want to be sent a regular copy of the year-end review. I know it would make her happy. She works pretty hard at it. And I don't know what to say, excepting that, you know what, we have the best donors in the world. We really do. Not just the money, but the kindness, the love, the consideration, the prayers. I just had one donor come by and gave me $4,200. Hey, but as always, my dear friends, until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand.
You've been listening to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. If your heart's been touched and you want to know more about the work of the mission, log on to UGMSAC.com, UGMSAC.com. To donate clothing, food, time, or financial help, call 916-447-3268, 916-447-3268. Thank you so much for listening. Join us again next week at the same time for Voices from the Street.